The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Just drizzling over your earlobes like some red wine dew. Talking about dew, the Cats had a bit of dew dribbled over their earlobes on last Friday night by the Brisbane Lions. We'll discuss that shortly, amongst other things like, do fish get thirsty? And do hummingbirds hum because they don't know the words? These are just a couple of things I looked at on the way through. Ben Castanelli with you. I'm joined by Tom King. Kingy, you're looking resplendent. And we're joined by a very special guest today because we don't usually have guests in here.
No, this is a rarity.
Lockdown.
Well, you weren't supposed to be here.
No, that's right. I wasn't actually. I was supposed to be on the Gold Coast, but so they're on. Lucky I'm not up there.
So after I was about eight tins in last Friday afternoon doing a bit of prep for the Cats and the Lions, after the Cats and the Lions and a bit of GFL prep, I thought, oh, who are we going to get on? Why don't we get one of our old favourites on?
Yep, the bloke who once played a quarter concussed and had 17 goals kicked on him and can't remember any of them. He had a pretty good career at the Cats, Tom Lonigan. Domsey, welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast.
Benny Cass, Kingy, good to be back.
You're
in the K-Rock building.
You're looking refreshed since you haven't stopped playing footy.
I don't feel it. Got a one-year-old that's just giving absolute nothing come 9
times. Well, you've got three kids, haven't you?
Three kids. Yeah. Three under four. So
have you got a tally?
Three too many.
We have now. We've got a couple now, Ben, and they're staying on. Let's be honest. But no, good to be here, boys, and good to talk all things Cats.
Do you miss playing?
Do I miss playing?
Now that you've so far removed, or you actually got no interest in it?
Nah, I just enjoy... Being seriously, I enjoy just watching now. It's funny. You it was a period in your life where, you know, you trained every day. Everything revolved around playing and training, and it was just a 24/7 lifestyle. But now, once you remove you understand there's a whole nother world out there, and it just becomes something you watch on the weekend like everyone else. And that's probably where I'm at the moment. I love watching the Cats, but. No, don't miss playing.
Do you miss the environment, though? Do you miss sort of being able to pass win next to the skipper at his locker and then just walk off and then watch him sort of blame it on someone else?
Yeah, that sort of things you do. Yeah, you do. Like, that's the banter and the sort of the in-jokes, the camaraderie, the going for coffees and, getting around one another you do. But, again, that's probably something... as you throughout your 20s, you enjoy doing, but now I've got kids, and they take up a fair bit of time. It's your priorities do change, but it is something I do miss from time to time. I miss those boys, especially Tommy Hawkins and Sal and these guys. So get the text message every now and then. They fly around.
They still remember you're about.
Yeah, they do, especially on the birthday. They tend to bring up some old shitty photos that. popped up of me over the years. They're bad too. I mean, those boys.
When was that? Was that recent?
May. It was May. Yeah.
What do you
phone just from about 7:30 onwards was just ting. It was bing, bing, bing. And
what was that? What was that milestone?
That was 37.
37?
37, yeah. So that's...
at least they remember you're still alive, though.
Yeah, well, they do. They remember I'm still here, which is nice, but should see some of these photos they've sent.
Is this you, some of your footy stuff? Can any of it be aired?
Well, it's...
So this is a good thing.
We're going to get the lawyers involved because there was a period there.
Probably. How are things at the Falcons, where you're now the talent manager? How are you easing into that life? Obviously, you were at the call of cannons and everything changed with COVID, but you've... got a nice little gig where you just got to drive from Mano down to Highton.
Nice 10 minutes instead of an hour and 20, King. Yeah, no, look, it's been a busy first half of the year, it's fair to say. We've had three different programs up and going. Obviously, the boys are going now, the under-19 boys. We're started off a bit slow for a zip and four. We're now 3 and 4. But we've got some good kids that three of them are in the Vic Country squad. It's a first. I don't think it's been mentioned in the media, but Oscar Morrison, Toby Conway, Mitch Nevitt are playing Vic Country. They're in the initial 15 to 20 man squad there, so that's good.
Yep.
And we've got some, we've got some 17-year-olds. We've had the girls in make it to the grand final in the NAB League girls league. So they're going we expect probably maybe somewhere between 4 and 5 get drafted there. I know the Cats have got some early picks, so hopefully they can pick up 1 or 2 Falcons girls. Would be nice. But yeah, it's been a really, really enjoyable time to be back, and obviously looking after the young cohort, I really enjoy.
Do you have a mug with your name on it and like a park that's right next to where, so you don't have to walk anywhere and then all that sort of stuff? Or you haven't found like a former coach stealing the tea bags or something like that, have you? Like the Gippsland Power once did.
No, I don't know what you're talking about there. But no, Mickey Turner's name's still on the door. Actually, I haven't even got it removed, just out of respect for the great man.
Yeah, the body's still warm.
The body, it's still warm. It's still warm. He's a revered man, so he's left a great legacy and big shoes to fill.
Do you get out there and move any hats?
At training? I get out there from time to time.
Just have a bit of a kick?
I'll get in Cora's ear and I'll say, I'll take the keys this time. And he'll say, mate, you just stay behind the fence. But no, I like to get out and spend a bit of time with the key position boys.
So you get the boots on then and do a bit of...
Yeah, I'll get the boots on. I'll have the trackies on and and the coat on still, but I'll be sort of
the Port Melbourne sort of gangster trackies. That's with the 3 stripes and the really big pockets just for the keys and that huge wallet.
When I kick the footy, they fall out. Yeah, it's I've got the key position boys. I usually do a bit of work with from time to time, but I usually leave it to the coaches. They do a good job.
You've got a laid back nature, but you were competitive. How do you still get that competitive buzz the footy gave you? Is there something you actually can, or is that training the thing that gives you that at the moment?
Yeah, good question. If I'm looking at the NAB League competition and each region, I think each region, obviously enjoys winning. That's important, but how you develop the kids and what sort of players they turn into, how many go on to get drafted, and obviously that depends on the region and the talent pool, but it's great. I get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing kids that may have at the start of the year hoped to get drafted, come middle of the year and now have a magnet on the board. And how do you sustain that performance to really get to a position where you're right in contention to be drafted? So being able to talk with those guys and have discussions and, work with the coaching group and the fitness and the physios and how we best can prepare some of these kids to make their way into an AFL club, that's something that really ignites me and gets me going. So that
blows your hair back.
Blows my hair back, yes, it does.
You've held on to it well too, haven't you?
Yeah, look, it's extraordinary mop.
It is a Lonergan trait though, isn't it?
Burn, my old man Stump, is going pretty strong on the sides, a bit thin through the middle part, but that's pretty
down natural. The seam.
He's 70, he's pushing 70 now.
I was
going to
say, Stump's nearly got a 7 in front of him. Yeah, Uncle Dez?
Desi's got a good crop still.
Yeah, he does.
He's still, the feathers are well and truly attached there. But,
Les Donegan will listen to this.
Les, he loves a podcast, the old Les.
Just going to ask you, Domsey, you're talking about having those conversations with kids that potentially have got some real talent. But I'm sure there's kids that don't quite have the talent who would like to have it and do everything they can and then probably never going to get drafted. Do you have to be careful that you're realistic with those kids, or do you? Because you don't want to build a kid up and then it all falls flat for him. Because you'd like to see kids go through that system, and if they're not good enough, continue to play whether it's local footy and be the best player they can be. It doesn't necessarily have to be at AFL level.
Yeah, you're spot on, Cass. The last lockdown, which was a couple of weeks ago, it kind of came at a good time for us. It gave us a chance to actually spend a bit of time online with all the boys, which is we've got 40, 45 or 6 of them, and spend 15 to 20 minutes just talking about where they're at as individuals, what their hopes and dreams are, but also give them some real honest feedback, in a way that we're obviously caring for them, but we don't want to sugarcoat anything. We want to be very transparent with how we talk with them and make sure they know exactly where we are. And there's plenty of those types of conversations along the way. There's the stats show that there's probably only a couple that are going to get drafted every year from the region, so it's very hard to it's very competitive and hard to make it onto an AFL list. So you've got to be realistic, but give them hope in the same breath. Whether that's if it's not this year, your turn this year, make your way into a VFL club, and or go back to your local club, play some consistent footy, and hopefully an opportunity may occur down the track. But I think it's just the way you frame it, the way you talk to them. You've got to consistently talk to them. You can't just talk to them once and then expect everything's going to be right in a month's time. It's that ongoing conversation. So, and that comes with building a relationship nice and early with them, and you know, checking in with them, training, and making sure that you're picking up on little things like body language and how they're feeling mentally. They're 18, 19 year old boys. They go through a few peaks and troughs along the way, so making sure you're aware of their life outside of footy and what you know, other stresses and things they've got going on in their life. So it's a great role. It's a good, very good role, and hopefully we're making a bit of a difference.
Is the system better being an under 19 program, that you do have a lot of the players are actually, they're done with their year 12 studies, and that you can still get drafted at 18, but if you don't, you still have another year of NAB League eligibility? Is that something you like to see kept, or do you think it needs to go back to being an 18 and under comp, but with that, you know, that handful of 19-year-olds that they're allowed in previous years?
Yeah, look, I think it's a bit of both. I think it will probably return to the old way a little bit. This is just reading between the lines, where there'll be, for instance, we had 21 19-year-olds on our list this year. So that we brought back basically the same squad from last year, 2020. We felt that we needed to give these kids a go, given the fact of what happened last year, having really no opportunity to play footy at all. It was our duty to make sure we could provide them with that. That's probably, you know, caused it's been tough on the whole list at times, because we've also got one eye on next year and how do we bring some 17-year-olds along to make sure that they're getting the development that when they hit their top age next year, that they're, you know, they've had their 7 or 8 games, they've understood the Falcons and the sort of the game plan, but also the level required to play really consistent footy, to put your name up to get drafted. So what's that mean? That's meant some 19-year-olds, you know, have missed out on their opportunity to play week in, week out. So those conversations are hard to have. I think it'll be it'll remain a 19-year-old competition, but probably we won't have, maybe not as many 19-year-olds as we do this year.
What have you made of the Cats?
I've been very, very impressed. I think it's probably what I expected, to be honest, given they come off a grand final last year. I know I said a lot throughout the calls we had last year. I thought that their brand of footy was the best I thought I saw last year. And maybe I'm a bit biased, but I thought their brand of football was really exciting and it was going to be really competitive, which it was. They made it to a grand final, and
you tipped him to win it.
I tipped him to win it a long way out because of that reason. Their power up forward, you know, their balance through the midfield, and obviously defensive back six were very sound. So I see nothing's changed. If anything, they've added. Obviously, we know the players they've added, so they've got the firepower there. Sure, they got beaten by a pretty good team last week, but, you know, teams, we've seen all the good teams have their peaks and troughs. I think they'll bounce back. I don't think Paddy's hit his straps yet, which I think is a really exciting thing for Cats fans.
He's only played 5 games, I think, all up now.
It's been good, Domsy, haven't they? It's players have obviously Gary Rowan's probably been, you know, favoured by Jeremy Cameron coming in. He gets the next best defender, and he's really blossomed. It's funny though, isn't it? We still, you know, like Cat fans, and we hear it every week on the Twitter. They're up and about the ruck situation and all those sorts of things. It seems though like the Cats this year are a little bit more set. You know, Radigalea and Blitzhoven in the ruck seems to be something that they're going to continue with. I mean, Stanley came in and played quite well against Collingwood, didn't do anything wrong, but then they immediately went back to Blitzhoven and Radigalea. So once Blitzhoven came back into the team, so it seems like that is at least set. The discussion about Blitzhoven playing up the ground or in defence, it seems to be he's going to play up the ground. Lock Henderson had a stinker against Brisbane, but he's actually had a pretty good season. So at least they seem a bit more settled. Previous years, it's always been, oh, geez, what's happening here? And you weren't quite sure what was going to be happening, at particularly in defence and in the ruck.
Yeah, I think that's still they're probably number one Achilles, though, isn't it? Like, that's the Achilles here right now is you see, and it has been for a few years, the good ruckman just can get hold of those centre bounces, and it just makes it a lot easier for their midfielders to move the ball out of a stoppage. So what happens when they play, you know, then they're going to find a couple of good ruckmen once finals comes around. That's something that Scotty and the coaching panel have to work through. I know they'd love a Brody Grundy or a Max Gawn in their team at the moment, but they don't have it. So they're just going to have to work with, yeah, like you said, Blitz and Sav at the moment. Reece is in the twos at the moment. Do they bring him back in at some point? Give him one more shot to hopefully take them to the...
He's had a lot of one more shots, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And I think it seems as though it's kind of worked at times, though, when he has gone back and he's found some form in the twos. They've brought him back in. He's sort of come under the radar. And he usually plays a good block of games, whether that's two, three, four, sometimes more. Whether they're trying to sort of trying to set that plan for him coming back in the next few weeks, we'll find out soon. But
you could actually argue that this was one of the years that he was probably a little bit stiff. He played really well against West Coast, had a really bad game against Sydney, but wasn't the only player that didn't play well against Sydney, and then was out and hasn't got back for that one game when Blitzars was out. So you could actually argue that he's actually been slightly on the stiff side this year.
I just don't know. Blitz is obviously, you know, he hasn't been the number one ruckman, so hasn't Asava. So do they just roll with those two? I think they got a fair indication last Friday night that maybe that's not the best.
Big Oscar sort of tailed them up, didn't he? Yeah. Although this clearance is actually in favour of the Cats, I think. So he didn't, but he's actually underrated, McInerney, isn't he? He's a very good player.
Mm. And what a big ruckman does for your midfield too. It just makes them walk a lot taller.
You'd be able to maybe confirm this. So Cam Guthrie's been in unbelievable form for the last, what, year and a half?
Yep.
Reigning best and fairest. It sort of came out of nowhere to a degree. Like he'd been handy and he'd showed glimpses, but you'd probably say on what he'd shown you over quite a period
his
of time.
His first 150 were, you've done well to get to 150.
Yeah. But is it true? Did he have like a heart issue that you were aware of at Geelong, and then they tried to fix it and it didn't work, and then he sort of kept playing, but he didn't have the greatest tank. And it was, although he was trying, he physically wasn't. And then the end of 2019, they had another crack at fixing it, and it sorted itself out. And his career just went, his ability to get to contest went, you know, was on steroids. And that's what sort of has jumped his game up tenfold.
I'm not sure about the heart issue. I know he's always had a pretty poor tank. And were they related? They probably were. I can't answer the heart one. I know he's never been the greatest a runner, but...
He's developed into one, though, seemingly.
Well, yeah. Well, you look at his body of work this season and the last season year. Before.
Yep. He's been unbelievable. But it sort of came out of nowhere, and I just wonder whether that was the case. What about your old mate, the 26? Do you reckon that Jeremy Cameron might keep him around the place for a year or two longer?
Oh, I don't think he has to worry about Jeremy. I think... he's doing that himself. He's still by far for me.
But just having Cameron there?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Takes a load off him, doesn't it? And Rowan's obviously doing his bit as well. So, no, they've got some... And Paddy, we've yet to see that foursome really click. What's that going to look like? Where's Paddy's best position at the moment? I'm not sure. It's hard to find out because of, you know, Jeremy's obviously come in and that three-way with him and... Gary and Big Hawk, that was working really well. So does Danger go back in the midfield, or do they persevere and hopefully get him up and going in the next few weeks?
Well, Mitch Duncan out, probably.
Big out. Massive.
Yeah, that is a big
massive
out.
For me. He's probably...
Your mate Hunky Dunky.
Hunky's a big out. I think from a leadership perspective, what is he, 30-odd now? And he's just he's the way he plays the game and what he does for the Cats. He's such a smart player, gets back, helps defence when he needs to, does kick outs from time to time. His ball use is elite. He'll be sorely missed.
King, you're an injury expert. Is it Are they saying that if he does come back, he's likely to come back first up in a final?
Yeah, look, potentially, yeah. That's probably the best case scenario.
Well, you'd, for a player like him, you just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he off a really limited pre-season, he was having a really, really good year.
Yeah.
So it's different. Was it a Port Adelaide player that come back from PCL? He was out for 16 weeks. 16.
Yeah.
So is it all set, well, didn't set Raoul, and done that he's going to be only 10 weeks? That's my bit.
Didn't Raoul do the same thing?
He did, yeah.
So how long ago did he come back?
Nah, Raoul's been back. So he missed 9 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so that will take Mitch, basically. I reckon it takes him to that bye.
Mm.
Geelong will have a program in place, and they will have, well, they'll have programs in place, and they will have one that is to get him back for round 23. They'll have one that'll get him back for the first week of the finals. Now, there's a two-week gap, obviously, then in between. I don't know whether he's allowed to play in a VFL final. I don't know how that works, whether he has, if you're not qualified, you can't play, or if you're not playing the same weekend. But there might be the potential there for him to have a blowout in a VFL final if the Cats make it as well. So,
what can you do with that injury, though? Can you sort of run or do anything in a straight line, or are you just couch bound?
Jimmy had one back there probably 4 or 5 years. Oh, no, longer than that. How long has he been retired?
Five.
5 years, so it's probably 7 or 8 years. And I remember, it's one of those things, you just got to wait for it. It's unlike a hamstring, and I'm not no medical expert, but you've just got to sort of wait for it to heal itself.
So he would be doing very limited in terms of fitness work.
Upper body, he could probably do some rower, some ski erga, swimming, that type of thing. He'd be doing a lot of that, but obviously not running. They'd be looking to introduce him on the bike probably in the next couple of weeks, I would have thought. Get his quads going.
It was such an innocuous incident. You sort of with looking at anything, how could you get injured from that? There wasn't much in it at all, which is always generally the worst one.
Can I just take you back to the ruck situation? And since Brad Otten's, basically, Geelong haven't been able to find the right formula. You know,
is the pill playing for Bowen Heads? Did I see that?
No.
Cassidon, I heard.
Cassidon. So he had a clearance.
Cassidon?
Yeah, so with Matty Stokes,
yep.
Max Rook. There might have been one more. And there's a crew.
How come they get you up there, big boy? Did you go get the invite?
The phone just didn't ring for that one. No doubt, if Stokes is going, there'd be a bit of a few sheets flying around because he doesn't do anything without a few sheets. He loves his sheets, so it's okay.
Was it last week or is it this week coming?
This week. I ran into Stokes yesterday. Yeah. They're going up this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
His Brad sort of, he would have trained up a storm. He would have whittled himself stupid in preparation, wouldn't he?
Well, he's a hard man to get onto. I don't know. He's talking. He's a broomstick at the moment. He hasn't seen a weight for however long. He's just weathered away out at
Connawarri
out there. No doubt he'll be in fine form. I don't think you'll get much out of him on the field. He's not moving. He's every bit of a 40-year-old. Is he
40?
He's 40. He's 40 this year.
That'd be a bit of a shindig.
So did he retire at 30?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Really?
Right. Well, 10 years ago, yeah. Yeah, after
the... Do you reckon they might be able to get him back?
Well, I remember Barmy and Hock and Scotty were trying to get him on this deal where he wasn't going to come back. I still remember him telling me they were trying to get him to come back in June, July of 2012. And play the remaining 6 games. Said, mate, go away on a extended holiday. We don't want you back in till sort of May to start rolling the legs over.
Well, he never played before then anyway because he was injured. So it didn't matter.
Well, and I thought, and they're still going to pay him some good money. I thought, why wouldn't you do that? But no,
it was done.
That was done.
He mentally must have just had enough.
Mentally, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You happy to answer some questions from our friends on the Big Footy Cat Attack podcast thread? They got very excited when they heard you were on.
Right.
All right. Bordolino, question for Tom Lonigan. What are some examples of stats, metrics or KPIs that are valued, highlighted internally within clubs that the media do not pay attention to or do not have access to due to champion data, keeping some advanced metrics hidden from the public? What are the sort of KPIs players look at that don't get discussed much in the media?
Good question. What was his name again?
Bordolino.
Bordolino. Well, I know when I was playing, we always had a values video after the review. So Scotty would do his initial review, which would last for somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, basically reviewed different parts of the game.
Yep.
and how that affect our game plan. So whether we won or lost, he'd review that. After that was done and completed, usually one of the assistants would get up, or a leader, one of the players would get up, and there'd be a 10 to 15 minute video of edits on different players performing acts that sort of reflected our values as a team. So whether that might be getting back, Sam Manigola getting back from the wing to help a defender one out against the best forward in the competition, getting back to just get in his way or to put a spoil on, acts like that. I still remember Scott Selwood, this one still rings out in my mind.
In one of the three games he played for Geelong.
Yeah, well, he always gave his all in the games he did play, which wasn't much because he was injured, but we were playing Richmond at the G, and it was a close one. Ian, you know this, King, because you've got a photographic memory. Mm. 2016, maybe? It was just before their run, I reckon. So it was 16, and they were in front. We come back, piled on a heap of goals.
Yeah, that was the one Harry Taylor... Did Harry Taylor go forward? That was 16. That was August 16, 16. I reckon it was.
Well, I remember the...
it was in August of 16, that one.
It was August.
It was round 14. No, it 17.
It was a bit later than that.
Yeah, it was a bit later. It was around 19. It was August. So I was just about to say that until Kingy jumped in.
You knew it too.
I didn't call it, but I remember it.
Yeah. And so Scott Selwood got back and basically put on his tackle on Jack Riewoldt, who was, if he had a kick that, the game was done.
Yep.
And he just put a tackle on that saved us, basically saved us as defenders' arse, and were able to sort of kick the ball away and go on and win the game. So little things like that. Just little moments in games, especially in critical moments, like they might be late in the game or late in the quarter when the opposition are surging and we just need a momentum breaker.
Did Tom Lonergan ever feature?
I got a couple from time to time. Usually one out with Buddy, just sort of getting the fist in at times.
Buddy, your bunny.
Oh, you can say that. Yeah.
Or Rocker. Or who? Big Pebbles.
Big Pebbles. No, I didn't play on Pebbles too much. Your cloak. Cloaky.
Oh, sorry, cloak. I'm thinking cloaky, of cloak.
Yeah. So
I was going to say.
Just early stuff. Just track bit of track work.
No, it wasn't. No, not this morning, it wasn't.
Also from Bordolino, do you think the media needs to elevate the sophistication of its analysis when it comes to player positioning, zoning and off-the-ball system? There seems to be a disproportionate emphasis on things like clearances and contested possessions in the media, and comparatively little work put into analysing what teams and individuals are doing off the ball, which seems strange given the importance of what happens off the ball and the amount of work teams obviously put into that area of the game. Case in point, people often allude to Quinton Knuckles' off-the-ball weakness.
Which is defence?
Yep.
Is that what he's alluding to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think I think fans in general just they don't watch every a lot. Don't watch every minute every game. So the best thing they can go for is what the stats tell them. They don't always reflect how the game's played or how an individual's played, which was always one of my gripes because I never got featured too much in the old stats column. Well, 1% I was very good, but there's for instance, there's a lot of defenders that may not get a lot of the footy, but how they negate an opponent and help their team win a game of footy by doing that, especially in one-on-one battles or one-on-one contests, marking contests, I think that's a stat like that really. Really shows, should be highlighted more, but it tends not to be.
The irony of the defenders is that if you're not talked about, you're probably doing your job in terms
correct.
Of, you know, it's when you get the goals kicked on you that you start getting talked about for all the wrong reasons. And unless you're sort of absolutely elite, like a Scarlett or, and Tommy Stewart's a bit different because the game's different now. He can get the ball 25 times and have an influence going the other way, whereas as a tall defender closer to goal, your key job is just to stop the bloke on because generally you're playing on the superstar of the opposition. So if you're touching the ball three times, he's touching it twice, it's a win for you.
Yeah.
So you're on a hiding to nothing, really.
Yeah, correct. I think, it's funny how, you know, different players are viewed. Like Tommy Stewart is having an unbelievable season. That game against Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago was as good as game as I've seen from a defender for a long, long time. But then you fast forward a week and he was isolated on Charlie Cameron. All of a sudden, he looked a bit shaky.
Yeah.
So it's funny how it swings him around a bit and he got frustrated. So I think coaches, especially opposition coaches, understand individual players' strengths and weaknesses
yeah.
a lot, and you'll find that they'll use different instances, maybe like that one last week, where they'll try to isolate potentially Tommy down the track in a final
yeah.
on a good player. And how does that, how will that affect his game?
I just wonder too, like, I thought it was a bit of a strange matchup when they, I mean, Stewart was in great form, but then Buse goes to him in the second half, has played on him before. I know he kicked that game when he kicked the five goals and won the game. I think they he kicked five of their ten, didn't he?
Adelaide?
Yeah.
In Adelaide?
No. The round.
Oh, sorry.
Brisbane. Yeah, like, and Buse had a bad day, but you're playing on Charlie Cameron. Unfortunately, that might happen. You know, but so I just thought Buse was the obvious option for him, and then he went to him in the second half and actually kept him to a goal and actually did really well. I wonder if the Cats revisit Brisbane, whether they go Buse straight to Charlie Cameron and try and keep Tommy
and they might they might be playing their cards close. They didn't want to give away what they're going to do in 6 or 7 weeks time.
Yep.
Daz Broncos, Domsey, great to have you in off the bench, the super sub. Thanks for doing this. Well, in the end, we've ended up with the three of us here. Given you played with Boris and Scalo, Boris being Corey and Wright, for those who don't know, and now you've seen them in the coaching capacity, what are the biggest similarities and differences you've seen in them as they have moved from players to coaches? I'm not asking you to break ranks and spill the good stuff.
I think the biggest thing with those two guys is, well, firstly, their understanding of the game.
Yep.
They understand both the attack and defence side of it extremely well. They've got no egos, neither of those guys, although Scalo at times you'd think he does at times in terms of the way he's some of his banter that he gives. He's a very, very, very humorous man. But they generally don't have... They're both good defenders that respect the game enormously and respect sort of their position. So, look, they know the game inside out. I think they've got a real growth mindset in terms of where they want to get to. They're both very competitive, and they'll like their footballing careers. They're both, well, Scarlett's already a legend. Boris is only, I think he's only a matter of years away from being a legend.
Yeah,
he will be at some point. And it just goes to show with, you know, what they're doing in the coaching ranks. They're putting that time in, learning their craft. They're very, very open and easy to talk to guys. And I don't think people understand how much players respect honest feedback, even if it's not the stuff you want to hear. You still you crave that honesty. And both those guys, they do that in spades. They're doing it in a compassionate way, and they care for the player when they're giving it. So they've got a lot of strengths, and I'm sure they're learning more and more. And both, I think, could be senior coaches. No doubt about that.
Great call on Francis Evans too. Of course, came out of Calder, went and spotted him down playing with Brunswick Knobs. That's what they're called.
Yep.
Right. North Knobs. Old boys.
It can't be.
Looks like a real goer. Even has a bit of a chappy to him, the way he plays. Any plans to follow Mackie into the recruiting world for you?
That could go pear-shaped, that team, though, couldn't it? If you're just having a casual conversation with someone and said, I'm off to play with the Knobs. Goodness me. Okay, then.
The Knobs.
Right.
He could be anything, Francis. And I know Wellesley spotted him basically from that one game at Knobs where he kicked 10, and that was enough for him.
Yeah. So did Geelong make the approach to you then to say, hey, is there a chance you can roll this bloke into your system?
No, they didn't. They were genuinely trying to hide him. So what had happened was one of our quarter cannons players, Daniel Mott, had come to me and said his local clubs was the Knobs too. And he said, oh, you've got to look at Francis. He's playing seniors and kicking bags of goals. And at that point in time, our team at Calder, we lacked a small forward. I said, oh, can you pass on his number? So I was driving home from Craigieburn that night, and I gave him a call, Francis call, and I said, mate, Motty passed on your number. Do you want to come into training? He came in, we trained him for a few weeks, and then he got his opportunity, and we played Murray Bush Rangers up in Wangaratta, and he had 37 possessions and kicked 4 goals, I think it was. And we were just like, why have we waited so long for this to play this kid? So then I had every recruiter in the land ringing me the next week about him, and Troy Salwood was one who said, "Look, we've spotted him a few weeks ago. Oh, sorry, Wellesley had seen him a few weeks ago. Yeah. Kicked obviously a bag and was set on him. He said we're very keen to draft him."
Yep.
I said, "What?" I said, "This was in May." I said, "He said we're keen to draft him," and I was like, "Wow, that's a big call." But anyway, the next week, we were very excited for him because a lot of recruiters had called about him. He lined up for us, and unfortunately for him, we thought it rolled his ankle. He kicked two to half time and then come off just before half time with a rolled ankle, so we iced him. But then further investigation showed he had a floating bone in his foot, so he was done for the year. So he'd only played a game and a half for us. Yep.
And had 40 possessions and kicked six.
And I knew at this point that Cats were very, very keen.
Yep.
I didn't say anything to anyone. And clubs hadn't seen enough of him to draft him off those two or game and a half. So Wellesley plucked him out in the draft. And, yeah, I think we're yet to obviously still see the best of Frank, but he'll be a good player.
As a former Geelong player, is it really hard because you're thinking, gee, I tell you what, I want to help the Cats out here, but you're also very mindful too that you're developing players not for Geelong, you're developing players for the AFL?
Yes. So that was the predicament I was in because I knew Geelong rated him, but I wasn't. Every phone call that I took from him, obviously I wasn't going to tell them that Geelong were keen, but I just told them what I told the next club, and that was we really like him as a player.
Yep.
We would have played him for the rest of the year, and we think he's got real draftable qualities. But in the end, it was up to those clubs to make that decision, and no one did, and Geelong did, and now he's at Geelong.
Maybe you could have just sort of, maybe just like handed out your sort of bank account and just done a bit of a McDonald's sort of car park transaction to the highest bidder and said, "Look, we'll hide him for as much, depending upon how much we hide him, depending
well,
on how much Bugs Bunny."
Well, it was funny because initially that we said it was a rolled ankle, and then as the time went on and he kept missing games, there was some murmuring going on that I was trying to hide him for Geelong. Yeah. And come sort of close to draft day, the week before the draft, a flood of calls come back in for him, and I was thinking that there's someone's just going to pluck him out of the blue here.
I think the Cats had to go earlier than they were planning to.
Yeah, I get that
impression.
I
think they were hoping he'd be a rookie.
How old is he, 19?
He's 20 now.
20.
Yeah.
Yeah, a flood of calls come late, and I get the impression that if he had of... What pick did he get, King?
31.
31, yeah. I think
as his number.
Yeah.
I reckon they had a pick in the 40s.
I think they'd pick 40.
40, which they wanted to use on him. But I think, as they do, recruiters get wind of other clubs that are keen, and they jumped.
Yeah,
with their second pick, I think it was.
It was, yep.
Yeah.
Usually sort of flares the nostrils too, that sort of wind you get from someone else. It's no good, is it?
No.
Son of God, 29, having spent time in the commentary box with Ben Cat. Anyway, Jen's got a serious lesson around the footy on Thursday night. Brisbane, very, very good. Geelong, utterly horrible. Looked very flat after an extremely hard work 3-week block. Thursday, Friday, Thursday, two interstate trips and the ridiculous South Australian government regulations. Is it time for Sean Higgins to spend some time in the VFL? And when I say some time, I mean the rest of the year.
Oh.
Son of God, 29, going whack.
He's an elite player, Sean Higgins. I wouldn't be ruling him out too quickly. He's got experience. He can play in midfield and forward. And I think he's a player that we'll definitely need come September.
Especially with Mitch Duncan.
Class. Yes, with that class. And he was
the sub. He'd been dropped.
Yes.
I think. Well, managed, so but technically dropped, I think, and then got the crack as the sub, and then Mitch Duncan goes down really early in the game.
Yep.
Spot opens up for him. He plays reasonably well against the Bulldogs. Wasn't so good against Brisbane, but he had lots of play, lots of friends that night. So, you know, I think he is. The one thing I've noticed, and I agree with you, he's a great player, and he's we obviously sort of know him. He's a great fella. His disposal's been a bit off this year for whatever reason. He's usually been
hits his targets.
Yeah, all the time, and he's just been a little bit off. I don't know whether that's you know, he's probably trying hard, maybe trying too hard to, you know, in a good team. Even though he has been around the block, there's probably some pressure on him to perform, and you know, just love to see him just relax, and because he has no problem finding the footy, and you want him to hit his targets all the time because that's what he's really good at.
Well, you look at his career. He started with the Doggies, who were sort of a young team just starting to get going. Now, he played in those prelims.
Yeah, he might have. He played in maybe
who's
one.
He played
in one and missed another. I reckon.
And then they fell off the cliff sort of 2010-11. I reckon he was injured around that time.
Yep.
And then he played a few more years with the Dogs when they were sort of down.
He got to North when they started to get moving into those.
About 14?
14, and I think he played in those couple of prelims.
So he probably played 3 or 4 years at the Doggies when they were sort of at the bottom.
Yep.
And then he come to North, played in a couple of prelims. Then they fell off the cliff pretty quickly.
Yep.
Then he had an extended time as just sort of a mediocre team, didn't he? Yep. Where he was the best player, though.
Correct. Him and Goldstein.
Yeah, him and Goldstein. And he probably had the freedom.
Cunnington,
yeah. Freedom to do, you know, most things. Like whether he spent time, as much time as he want in the midfield as that, you know, go-to player, and then go forward and do his thing.
The thing that I sort of think about is that Sean Higgins would know exactly where he's at. He's not a sort of, you know, head up his ass sort of player.
He's self-aware.
Yeah, he would know that there's a bit of pressure on him. He's not paying as well as he possibly can. He would know all that. So that's what gives you sort of the vibe that he'll sort it all out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
too good
a player not to.
Yeah, did you see that Ben Cunnington mic'd up at training?
No, I didn't.
It was very, very funny because he actually didn't say a word to anybody.
I was going to say he's probably
Taran Thomas went to high five and just gave him absolute donuts. So and then they
Kawhi Leonard type of style.
They had to put captions up on his mic'd up because he didn't speak. Someone played rock paper scissors with him as they were going from cone to cone, and then he gave. Somebody came up to him, I forget who it was, it might have been Zeeble or someone, and said, tell us what your secret is, and that was the only time that he smiled. He did not. So they mic'd him up, and he didn't say anything. Very funny. We'd like to get him on the podcast at some stage.
David the Cat, be a short one, who's our moderator on Big Footy. Have you seen much of young Sherlock Holmes? He's talking about Max Holmes, or as we like to call him, Benny.
No relation.
From Limited.
To Larry.
Better. Better Holmes.
From limited exposure, he looks like a real talent of blistering pace, appears to have footy smarts beyond his age and experience. That pace might come in handy against the Dons. What are your thoughts about him?
I haven't seen him play, although I know, speaking to Troy Selwood just after he drafted him, that and some players since then, that they're really excited by him. And I was... when they called his name out, swapped their first pick with Richmond, I was a bit sort of unsure about where the pick that they were going for, because it, you know, it's a first round pick, and you know, the Cats are getting on, so this pick is an important player. But I think he missed a full year of, well, missed last year, and then he was injured the year before, so he only played a few games before he got injured. But it sounds like they've seen something in him, a bit like Frankie. And all reports is from a lot of even the senior players. Spoke to Hunky Dunky not too long ago about him. I said, how's young Maxie Holmes going? He said, mate, he's going to be a very good player. And Mitch is not one to make an over like a
he'll
over
give
state.
He
tells you how
he doesn't hand it out sort of Greg Williams style. He's a bit more sort of Gary Ablett senior.
And he was straight off the bat with that one. Right. And I know Paddy Dangerfield is. Put something on social media, this guy's going to be a star one day. So,
okay. No pressure
there. No.
That's what you want to hear when you're going home to have your Weet-Bix, and then the star of your team you play for says you're going to be a star.
But I think what the Cats do well is they develop them the right way. You know, this guy's obviously he's spending some time at the moment in the VFL, and Shane O'Bree's there, and you know, spending probably a lot of time in Nigel Lappin learning his craft as well, Matthew Knights. They'll be teaching him the right way.
Well, he's got a bit of time too, hasn't he? Because he's not going to really get I know he has got a crack, but he's not getting a permanent crack.
He's 2 years
in the next year or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruck, Howler 41, ruck situation strikes again, well beaten in the middle. Would Jordan Sweet from the Dogs be a trade option? Tim English ain't going anywhere, and with father-son prospect Sam Darcy looking like a top five pick as a ruck forward, would Sweet be a player we could offer the number one ruck mantle and job security? Sweet hasn't shown as much as Mumford, but Sydney saw an opportunity in Pounce in 2009. This could be a chance to do something similar. Dogs would be looking for picks to offset any matching bids. A pick in the 30s or 40s could provide the Dogs with what they need. Sweet, 23, 205, 103, and will only be a ruck backup at the Dogs. I've watched him in the VFL. He's pretty handy, Jordan Sweet. He's got some ability.
Yeah, we can't get him now, though, at the end of the year. I see Sean Darcy's re-signed at Fremantle.
Yes, I was about to say that. So I know they'll big on him, and Sean, they've been big on him for a long time, actually. Mm. Even a couple of years ago, I think they'll try to get him back.
He's re-signed at the end of 2024, so he's not going anywhere.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. So, I know they'd definitely be looking. Absolutely, I know Andrew Mackey and Stephen Wells would be on the hunt for a big ruckman that can help him out because, well, you know, Joel's not getting any younger. Tommy, Paddy's now into his 30s, so they've got to find one.
And
they've
hunky got dunky.
Hunky dunky's into
Henderson.
His 30.
They've got
Tui.
Yep, Isaac Smith.
Yeah, they're all.
So time is ticking.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Cameron, I know he's still around, but he's 28.
Yep.
And he's right in the wheelhouse of his best footy, but he's not 23.
Howler 41 also.
Oh, asking, Howler.
Howler 41 also asking, has Domsey recovered from the dreaded delayed onset muscle soreness since retiring?
Well, sorry, what was that guy's name again?
Howler
41. Howler. Sorry, Howler. It's funny you say it. I've just got back into a bit of PT recently. I've only been going for a couple of jogs here and there, but just thought I'd might be start to add some muscle back on the chicken legs and just some one-legged lunges the other day, and the old hammies and quads
gone.
Have real sort of domped
up. Do you
up.
Still walk the dog in the car? Just throw the dog out and then
you
drop.
Love this one every time.
No, only because I know that you've run into some problems out in paddocks with things, other animals and stuff like that, but do you still do that?
RSPCA.
You'd be in jail. You wouldn't have your job if they knew what went out in those paddocks.
No, Reginald's just getting on a bit in age now. So just a walk around the block, like LA, your style, up Shannon Avenue AirPods in.
I'm like just a mom on a full march.
Real sort of Warwick Kappa, tight shorts.
I'm sort of North Korean army sort of style.
You're kidding somewhere quickly, aren't
you? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't even know what that question was.
Have you recovered from
Doms? Yes. No,
just
still
come back.
Still face the Doms from time to time. It's one of those things, and we're just gonna have to live with, I think.
Fox Dog 50. Hey boys, Domsy, two questions. If you personally were going to choose a ruck or ruck combination in our first final, who would you choose?
Oh yeah, well, it's a good question, isn't it? I think Reece Stanley has been a ruckman for his career. He's obviously played pinch hit forward at times as well. He's 202 centimetres. I thought last year he actually played some reasonable football. It was got to a point where we weren't even speaking about the ruck situation. I just not sure if Blitz and Sav, they're definitely two second tier ruckmans. They're there to back up a genuine ruckman. I think Reece is your ruckman. I think you have to throw caution to wind and just see if he can get it done on the back end of the year.
Try to
play three or four home and away games and then roll him into a final.
It's funny though, I mean this sort of conversation's been going on for the best part of 8 or 9 years.
10.
Yeah.
Basically since
I just wonder and it's hindsight, everything's been perfect with hindsight. I just wonder the Cats, they get in Cameron, you tick. They get in Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins. I just wonder, and nothing against those guys. Isaac Smith's been really good. Sean will be good. Don't worry about that. But I just wonder whether they had foregone one of those guys to get a ruckman in. Because they do have...
Well, they went after Goldstein.
Yeah, but even...
Aggressively.
And that's sort of high end. Had they just tried to maybe get like a Tom Hickey or a... somebody who you probably got for not a whole lot. There must have been a couple out there that were, or maybe there weren't, but it just seemed that they got the three guns in and they maybe could have just saved one and gone for a ruckman.
I think they probably thought that they had that a Tom Hickey like in Reece, I guess. Mm. He's not that, obviously not a first top tier ruckman, but they were hoping that maybe Reece could continue.
Well, we drafted one this year, didn't we? Which I was pleased to see.
Yeah. In Neil.
Oh, didn't we draft some other guy as well? Sissipas?
No. Paul, he's playing at Paul Sapatolis.
He's playing. He's gone back to NAB League.
NAB League just to get some development.
Oh, is he? Mm. Oh, okay. Well, he's not. He's obviously not tracking that way.
Yeah, so they've...
Shannon Neal, the singer.
Shannon...
Oh, is that Noel? Actually, I saw some highlights of him. He kicked four in the romp against the Lions. But he actually looked quite sort of coordinated, which is something...
I think he'll play more as a forward. But I think he could pinch him.
He's a WA kid, isn't he?
He is, correct.
Kenny, where's the boy from Grovedale?
Abbott.
Not Abbott. No, he's not from Grovedale. I saw him just today. Who's the other ruckman on the list? That's who I'm asking for.
Darcy Ford.
Darcy Ford. From South that's Barwon. The man. Sorry, I knew he was sort of north of the river.
No, that's actually south of the river.
South of the river. South of the river.
You've only been living here for, what, 16 years?
I got the north and south mixed up. But where's Darcy?
No, he's been playing good footy in the twos.
See, he'd be 25, 26 now.
He's 28.
Okay. All right.
Drafted at
25. He's on the veterans list.
Right. Is he in the frame for you?
Well, they're always in the frame. They've always got, they think they've got 30-odd blokes that they can pick from. It's just who they think their best 22 is for that game. And Darcy Ford, he got that knee injury in the preseason that didn't help him.
I'd be staggered now if they change. If there's an injury. I just think that they're going with Blitzarves and Radiglaire. And I 100% agree with you that both of them are potentially really good backup ruckman to a number one ruckman. But you've got number two ruckman trying to fill a number one. I'd be staggered. I just think that the coaching staff think that, and they see them every day. They think that that's the best option. And
and there's a secondary point to that. And I know I've been banging on about this for 2 years, and I'm probably wrong. And I know there's probably smarter people in that coaching panel, but I just still think. I remember going back to when I retired, and I was like, Mark Blitzavs will fit into that fullback role, and just be the cornerstone for the team and that sort of backbone from his running ability and his reach, his 200 centimetres, to play on those big key position players in a big final. And that first year, 2018 out, I think he was almost All-Australian. He was in the All-Australian squad. And since then, they've kind of moved him into this sort of midfield ruck role throughout this period where they're in contention to win a flag. I just would have liked to see him, like you think about Tom Lynch in that prelim in 2019, five in the game.
Well, he kicked five, and Mark Blitzos had five kicks.
And he played the midfield. You look at, you know, last year in the grand final, he played in that midfield. He didn't have his best game. And we looked at times a bit shaky down back.
Yep.
Lynch again got going, and Riewoldt as well. I don't know. I might be.
Henderson's been really
good. He's been great. He's been great.
My thing, though, is with Lockie Henderson is that he has been great. Don't get me wrong. He's probably exceeded, certainly my expectations.
Well, he's probably exceeded expectations since he was delisted and redrafted.
I think, and maybe the Brisbane game wasn't a great, he had a really poor night, and the ball was going down there many miles an hour at times. So, but Blitzarves, I reckon, is one of those defenders that can hold up at times when things aren't going his way, because he's got the movement, he's got the agility, he's got the reach, he's got the, he can, like he has one of those defenders, if it's sort of on his terms, he's really good. And Geelong have been good enough this year more often than not for it to be on his terms. But in a final against some really good opposition, there's maybe times in the game when it's not on your terms, and Blitzarves, I reckon, is that defender that can just get that spoil in, maybe get across to a contest that Lockie can't get to. And that's where I reckon it. And when you're talking final, like the Bulldogs game, it's a kick here or there. Mm. It's a spoil. It's a,
exactly.
It's not.
It's a goal. Yeah. You look at, you go back and watch the replay of those moments, and you'll go, geez, could have done that a little bit better, or
and
just held up a little bit.
And I reckon Blitzarves is the bloke that's capable of producing those moments in your team's favour.
He's 200 centimetres, 100 kilos. Like, he tangles you up. Tangles you up. He can run. He can get up. He can transition back.
Yep.
He just gives you so much confidence.
And he doesn't, my thing, I've always said that he doesn't read the play very well as a midfielder.
He's come from a steeple chasing background. So he's He's an unbelievable player, Blitz, and he's but his athletic traits are
is, yeah.
as good as any. But
and I think most Cat fans, when Geelong were drafting or recruiting, I should say, Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins, thought fantastic. Mark Blitzarv's going to play in defence because you've got two wingmen. So suddenly then Mark Blitzarv is then a sort of a fifth wingman alongside you've got Sam Menegola, who's a genuine wingman as well, and a good defensive type wingman.
The back, so they've obviously gone with the Lockie. Jack Henry, who's having a great year, and Collins, you know, he's had a couple of injuries.
He's your lockdown, but he plays a role. He's the one that thrashed. He won his matchup against the Lions. McStay couldn't get a kick.
So
I'm not saying McStay's Wayne Carey, but for a game where you're well beaten, Collins Jazzy's the one defender that actually stood up for the night.
All right, Turbo Cat, Domsey, first I'd like to thank you for your service and sacrifice for our club. Your move on to Cloak was key to winning the GF in 2011. Long may it be remembered. I'm going to move on from that question. Nathan Kruger. Have you been keeping an eye on Nathan Kruger, what they're trying to do with him?
Not really, mate. I know that he was drafted as a forward and they're playing him back a little bit at the moment.
Yeah. They're sort of asking, what attributes do you need as a forward to be able to go back? And you did that. You had a great year forward in 08 off the top of my head, kicked 40-odd. But then to get yourself back in the team, you had to go back as a defender.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, I think you learn as a forward, you understand what makes your defender nervous, what positions of the ground, the leading patterns that you can lose your defender off. And then transferring that to being a defender, you understand where a forward would like to get the ball, the leading patterns they like to do. So, very beneficial being a forward than going back as a defender. Yeah. Much more harder, I will say this, as being a forward. It is much harder, absolutely.
With your role at the Falcons, do you have a smoky that Geelong can pick up on the down low? I like Mitch Nevitt. Where do you see him long term?
Well, we spoke about Mitch earlier. He's just been selected in the Vic Country squad. So, no, been a big rap for Mitch. He's 193 centimetre inside mid, Cass.
6'3", is it, in the old?
6'3".
Back in the day, that was a key position player.
Yeah, well, he could, and he goes forward. He's his biggest asset, he's one wood, is runs 2 kilometres in 6:10 seconds. One of the top 2K runners. He's a very, very good runner. Elite runner.
Yep.
So 6'10". So did I read somewhere that Mark Blitzarv would do it in about 5:55?
That'd be, yeah, about that. I reckon.
So he wouldn't be far behind.
No, he's elite.
Sam Menegola's a pretty good runner, isn't he?
He's good.
And Grime Myers.
Grime, yeah.
Yeah, those three, Isaac Smith apparently is a very good runner.
Very good too. So you need to be a midfielder, you need to be sort of that 6:20 and above, I think. But he's certainly, maybe not a smoke. I think he's definitely, his performances this year would suggest that he's on the radar.
Yep.
And I think the back half of the year will depend on where he sits in the draft order, or if he gets drafted at all. So he's still got a bit of work to do, but he's got enormous talent.
All right, Botsmaster with the last question, and it was a question that was asked last week, but based on the fact that it was a pretty impressive one, and he played his 100th game last week, is Tom Stewart as good as Corey Enright?
Oh, it's look, that's a big question, and to have that question even read out says a lot about how Tom Stewart's going, doesn't it? Because Corey Boris Enright was one of the great small defenders of the game. 300 odd games, 6 or 7 All Australians, best and fairest in grand final year. He could do it all, Boris. So he's got a fair way to go, I'd say, Tommy. But he's on the right track. I mean, as I said, that game last week was up there with as good as I've seen from a rebounding defender. The week before against the Doggies.
The question we've got to ask you, Domsey. We need an answer, right? We don't want any of this sort of sit on the fence sort of rubbish. Who's the next captain of the footy club? You know all these blokes. We only see them on the TV and then make stuff up. You actually know what goes sort of on in there. Because what fans see and what happens within the place, it probably can be completely different. Not always, but so if someone gave you a rock lobster, and you had to go and have $20 on who'll take over from Joel Sale, whenever that is, whether it's next year, the year after, whenever.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah. Who would you have your rock lobster on?
Next captain, I would say Mark Blitzars would have to be in the picture.
Are they going to put a bloke who's 30 by the time Joel steps down from the role?
Well, they might just do it to cover to get him through a 3 or 4 year gap. And then I would, after one after that, I would say is Mark O'Connor.
Sorry, who?
Merrick. Merrick.
Is he seriously that sort of bloke?
Yeah, he's absolutely. Yeah, no, he galvanises the group. Very impressive person. Very impressive person. Trains just how you want a leader to train. Gets the most out of himself. He's obviously improvement in his game. It's been awesome. He's highly revered at the footy club. So 23. Yeah. So I'd say Blitz for a couple of years to get him through. I reckon Blitz has still got a lot of footy in him too. Yeah. He's that sort of type of body shape, isn't he?
And he came in late.
That's right.
Was Jim Steinsby the only other Irish captain? Was he captain? He was captain, wasn't he?
Yeah. He did captain.
Would he be the only other Irish player to captain the team?
I don't think Kennelly did.
No.
He would be the only two. He obviously hasn't. But yeah, he would be probably the second after Jim.
Yeah. Oh, but that'd be fantastic. I mean, I have heard his name sort of mentioned, but you sort of think, that's someone from left field.
It's not. He's that highly rated down inside the four walls.
Is he a good runner?
Yeah, a great runner. Yeah, he's up there.
For those who don't know the story,
who's the slowest runner on the list? if they're doing a 2K time trial,
who's the slowest?
26.
26 by a long shot. He just goes in his own. The thing with him though, he gets very nervous. 26
at the time trial.
The time trial. I said, mate.
Why?
You've never ran a good 2K. Why do you even get? Why do you bother? No one expects break 7 minutes.
But hang on, this is what makes me sort of wonder. During the game, the Geelong versus Port Adelaide game, which was probably one of the games of the year, it was up and back. It was goals galore. At one point in the game, I think it was the third quarter, they put up the top five players in distance they'd run. Well, the second player on that list was Tom Hawkins at 11.7 kilometres he'd run. Mm. So he must. He can't be too bad.
He must have given his GPS to somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he gave it to Blitzick anyway?
He's done the left. Doesn't Justin, because he did that for his 200.
Yeah.
Swapped it with Lee Montagna.
At training.
That's right. Yeah. Did a lap. Yeah. He can run. I think Hawk gets fitter as the season goes on. That's what I've found with him.
He's a workhorse.
Get him in November when he's just coming off 8 weeks of sort of getting at the spring carnival and roundabout. He's a socialite, so... Once he locks in for the year, he actually gets fitter.
Yeah.
So he's at his best this time. He's his fittest right now.
Because he in that just that game, late in the game, he cut off a hand pass on the wing and then marked the ball.
He's quick. The other thing people don't understand,
he's quick.
Hawk, he's quick. He's got about five steps, which I used to play on the big boy in training, and I was very surprised. I thought, I'll get you on the lead. But his first sort of four or five steps.
But Plugger was the same. Tony Lockett was the same.
Dunstall?
They weren't the most athletic of beasts, but, gee, they get them moving.
And the thing is, you can't go... Well, we all know you can't get in a one-on-one battle because he win that 9 times out of 10. So you think you can probably get him on the lead, but he's so smart in his leading patterns and he's quick off four or five steps.
And the other thing, too, is he's our best ruckman.
He's our best ruckman.
He's actually become a real weapon as a ruckman forward.
I saw Oscar McInerney, he was just sitting off him. Like, they almost encouraged him to win the tap rather than be pushed under the ball and him take it up the back.
Just very quickly, not everybody will have heard the Merrick story. Can you... Mark O'Connor is known inside the four walls of the club as Merrick, and you're the reason because your hearing's not so good.
Well, I was starting to get the back end of my career, King. So,
a couple of whacks around the head.
I think it was... He got draft or rookied in my... Second last year.
Yeah, end of 15 or end of 16?
Yeah, one of the two, yeah. It was definitely the last season or two. And throughout that off-season, I think I got away. I was overseas for a period of time and, you know, I was getting towards the back. Usually in the early parts of your career, you always take notice of who was drafted and how they're going to help you and the players that are brought in. And I was starting to get towards the back and I still took a bit of a notice. That year in particular, we brought in a heap of kids, though. And Merrick was obviously the rookie, the Cap B rookie that we got over from Ireland. So I was sort of unsure about who he was and I knew we had a Cap B rookie, wasn't sure of his name. Anyway, at the time, first day back in pre-season, basically all the older players have got in and all the younger players have been in there for 2 weeks. And as soon as we've walked in the door, all the younger players have just come over and started shaking our hands, and sort of you go through the the list of the picks you probably heard about in the papers, and you know, the can't remember who the first round pick was that year, but you get through them. And I reckon
was that Parf and Minigolas?
I think it was, actually.
Buzzer, yeah. And all that.
Yes, yep. Yes. So we've started off with Parf and Sammy, and you know, gone on to, yeah, Buzz and those boys, and starting to get through four or five and six. And
Tommy Stewart, or was he the year before?
Oh, you're testing me now.
Yeah, anyway.
And, you know, you're shaking hands and trying to, you're very, very quick speed dating and moving on. And we got down to Merrick, and I'm trying to remember everyone's names, and he put his hands out. And I actually, for some reason, I didn't even pick up on his, couldn't pick up on his accent. And he goes, hi, Tom, my name's Mark O'Connor. And I've gone, g'day, Merrick. G'day, Merrick. How are you? I'm sure he said, my name's Merrick O'Connor. Merrick. And I said, g'day, Merrick. How are you? And just so happened that all the older boys.
Someone else heard it. We were around
at the time. And they've gone, do you just call him Merrick? And I said, yeah, that's his name. Merrick O'Connor. And they're all in stitches. I said, no, it's Mark. And
there's no pumpkins in the urn sort of stories he's here for today from Nathan Ablett.
Can I give you a Nathan Ablett story?
Oh, hang on.
He's lodged a clearance from Motowari to play somewhere up. He's up on the Gold Coast or somewhere like that.
Is he?
So he's going to have a kick up north.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
How old would Nathan Ablett be?
35.
2 years younger than me, yeah.
Have you run into the great number, former number four, who wore 29?
I was about to say Mackey, but I thought then when you said great, you were referring to someone else. He was at the log. Actually, he was at. I was down watching St. Joey's in Bell Park, under 19s on the weekend.
Gaz was there.
He was someone. I was on the other oval, and he said, "I've just run into Gary Ablett." I'm like, well, "Where is he?" I didn't get to see him. But
what was his interest in that game?
I think he had a nephew playing. Playing for one of the teams.
Yeah, I'm not sure which club, but yeah. But he was very generous with his time,
yes.
Selfies,
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
all
yep.
that sort of stuff. Anybody yeah, well, who wanted a photo or an autograph, he...
He's always been pretty good like that, though.
He's got the wine going at the moment. So
what?
Selling good wine, yeah. Yeah,
a bit of John Devine.
John Devine.
What is it, yes. A sort of a Shiraz, or is it a...
Well, I think it is,
is it
yeah,
a sparkling...
Some, well, I saw the ad. It was on the socials there for a while.
It's him and the old
him
man.
Him and the old man. Yeah, Selling doing quite well.
A bottle of hope springs eternal.
Yes. just put the signature on the label and away they go.
Oh, wow. What did you mention that other number four? You're obviously great mate there. Is he... Was Troy...
Endo.
Troy's moved camp, unfortunately. Yes. It was a big loss for the Cats. But yep. Is Max still just trucking along there at the Cat Attack? Is he put on any weight?
They tell me, I get some inside word from time to time. Computer still hasn't opened. still doesn't quite know how to turn it on.
So he knows how to use a computer like he knew how to use a weights rack.
Actually, yes, very similar. Actually, Sean Higgins, gives us some gold on Andrew. He always walks in and sort of has a chat. And Andrew writes the things to do every day. And it's always vacant underneath. There's not a whole lot going on. But he had one the other day. I had to make one call. Make a call. That was it.
To Uber Eats.
Sean said, what are you doing for the rest of the day? No.
I worked something out.
Figure something out. Just really taking the PI double.
P1, the old P155. Nothing like extracting that.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, Doms. K-Rock footies tomorrow night. Hunky Dunky's on.
Hunky?
Oh, what can we ask Hunky Dunky?
Hunky Dunky.
Is he
still... He had the 30th planned for a couple of weeks ago, actually, old Hunk.
Right.
And COVID hit on the Saturday. So it was on the Sunday afternoon. I was looking forward to
because that would have been
crew
the,
back together.
The rolling bye, into the bye.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he got concussed the week before, so it was always in doubt. But then we got locked down, so that's been odd. But he had the 30th a couple of weeks ago. What else? He's got another little one on the way.
Wow.
He needs a TV, old Hunk.
How many's he got?
This will be
three.
This will
be three.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
He's a very interesting man. Ask him about the hub and what he got up to there. But
might be time for us to leave. Hunky Dunky's going to join us tomorrow, 6:15.
Pity he's not out there. He's having a good year.
Absolutely. Good to see you, Doms.
King.
Good work, Domsy.
Been good. Thanks, guys.
Over and out.
Send the invoice to Benny.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.